House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 29, 2016, the 16th day of the session. Today is the last day for Committee of the Whole in the Second House, and tomorrow is the last day for Second Reading in the Second House. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen, Baker, Baker, Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Burkhart excused, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Connolly, Connolly excused, Dayton, Edmonds, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Escobel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Greer excused, Halverson, Harshman, Harshman excused, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, Madden, Madden excused, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Moniz excused, Nicholas, Nicholas excused, Northrup, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Stubson excused, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Baker, Baker excused, Edmonds, Madden, 52 present, 8 excused.
The prayer of the day will be offered by our own Representative Kirkbride.
I want to read a brief story about a man who was confronted with some of the same difficulties we face, and then we will pray. From Genesis 41, "And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of those good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine." The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we recognize that you have been helping folks govern for thousands of years. We look at the pictures around the room and think of your work here in Wyoming for generations. Thank you that for a brief time it's our privilege to make these decisions. I ask for the 91 of us who vote and all who support us that we'd give a good account of the day you've provided, treasuring the people we work among and deliberating with discernment and compassion. Amen.
journal report.
Your journal committee reports that the journal of February 26, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Schwartz and Steinmetz.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer Senate File 94 to Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 94 is re-referred to Appropriations. The doctor of the day is Kim Westbrook from Laramie, and the nurse of the day is Sherry Rubio Wallace from the University of Wyoming. Please welcome them to the House. The Joint Conference Committee on Occupational Therapy Practice Act, Senate File 42, will be Chairman Zwanitzer Dan, Chairman Kasparik, and Blackburn. We're now in that order of business of bills for second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 9. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 9 from Transportation, an act relating to railroad quiet zones.
Senate File 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 32 from Education, an act relating to the Wyoming Education and Accountability Act.
There is an amendment. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And after our good discussion last Friday on the alternative accountability bill and the discussion about consultants, I did want to go in on page 9, line 7. And basically insert that prior to legislative service office contracting with any consultant under this section, a vote shall be taken of the Joint Education Interim Committee to provide their recommendation regarding any proposed contract. And so that's my amendment, basically just to run any proposed contracts through JEC so we become more informed on the consultants we're hiring and become more of that part of that process.
Discussion on the amendment. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider it a friendly amendment and would ask for your support.
Is there any other discussion on the amendment? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 32. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 is passed.
Okay, number 2 is mine. I don't even remember what I'm doing.
Let's see. Just a second. We're now on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41. Next bill for consideration is Senate File 41. Reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 41 from Appropriations, an act relating to state-funded facilities.
There is an amendment. Speaker Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move Mr. Majority Whip. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 41 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to have another discussion about this. As this amendment reads, the final sale price of property shall be not less than 90% of the appraised value for the highest and best use of the property. And as I recall, the argument that we got into that prompted me to go have this amendment drafted was whether that property should be appraised at its highest and best use. And I would argue that that's always the basis for an appraisal. If we appraise it at less than its highest and best use, then we're leaving change on the table that the next owner of the property accrues by purchasing the property. So I think we want it at its highest and best use, and not less than 90%. That gives a 10% fudge factor in there. And if they can't get a bid at 90% of the highest and best use, then it's probably not appropriate for sale. So the thing that disturbed me the other day was we were starting to compromise on the highest and best use standard for the appraisal of the property. But that's the way property is typically appraised, and the purpose of that is so that the sales price recognizes the value of the property as it sits, including factoring in the potential use of the property, whatever it may be, which is the reason that somebody wants to buy it, is for the potential use. So I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Clam for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know whether I'm for or against the amendment. I guess as far as discussion is concerned, I was hearing two things last week. Number one, that the appraisal would basically read the same no matter what. That's what I thought one of the good representatives had said that serves on appropriations, is that it would still be around $300,000. And so I want to make sure that that's still correct. And if that's the case, then this doesn't change anything. The second clarification, though, is I thought this property was being sold at auction. That it wasn't a private sale necessarily or in the traditional means, but it was actually going to auction. And I guess the concern that I have is does this mean that the minimum bid at auction will be at 90% less than what the appraisal value is? In other words, if it's $300,000, is it going to be starting at $270,000? I guess just some of those clarifications, and that would be nice. Thanks.
Further discussion, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. The previous speaker is exactly right. This property is going to auction. There already is an appraised value for this, of which the minimum bid at the auction is the appraised value. So this actually might make it 90% of that appraised value, and we might lose $150,000 in this process if we pass this. Again, there's nothing fairer than going to auction on a property like this that's going to be advertised and open to anyone that wants to bid for it. That's called capitalism, so please vote this amendment down.
Further discussion? Anybody else for the first time? Representative Blackburn.
So I guess I'm really confused now. I believe that we heard Friday that it would be 90% of the appraised value, and I'm hearing that at auction, it'll be the minimum, will be the appraised value.
Anyone else for the first time? First time going to second time. Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? My apologies. Rolling backward. For the first time, Representative Nicholas.
So just to help clarify, because I can cause part of the confusion on this. When we had testimony in JAC, we weren't sure whether or not the appraised value only took into consideration the agricultural value or what all the value was. So then after reading the appraisal's for about $1.6 million for 312 acres, which are adjacent to the Walmart as you're heading out of the town of by the river, heading towards to the big dam area up there. And so and then the actual value that 1.6 million basically is classified under the appraisal criteria as speculative value. So it's not at agricultural, it's not at commercial, in part because it's such a large parcel, because of where it's located, and because of the likelihood of it being developed quickly is very low. And so the highest and best use of current with appraised value techniques is quote-unquote speculative value, which comes to about $5,500 an acre. But it is the highest and best use. And so that is the figure that's going to be the opening bid for the property when it goes to bid. And so I'm in favor of this amendment. I mean, it ought to, the 90% ought to be out of there. It doesn't do any good for us. And so on and in favor.
Chairman Eichmann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment. And again, just, the discussions that surrounded this and why it made it into the bill in the first place really are things that have happened probably in all of our districts. And so as we serve and represent people, you learn about these issues. I think about one in Casper. It's been probably a dozen years ago. School section, 640 acres, butted right up next to the city limits. Sold for $1.2 million. I think I was the only one out of 12 Natrona County representative senators wrote a letter protesting it. And so I think, the key, I think, is to, and I think it's a constitutional duty that we get our best return on that, on these lands, on these state lands. And so that's all it is in there, and that's why I'm supporting the amendment.
Anybody else for the first time? Anybody else for the first time going to second time? Anyone for the second time? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Again, whatever the appraised value is, and then there's been a number of appraisals on this property already. I think the local group has spent something on the order of $50,000 already with the various appraisals that various government agencies have required at different times for different acreage amounts. Again, this is typical government interference, trying to drag things out. This is to the point where, frankly, the locals are about to give up. This particular town is constrained by availability of land. It just so happens that this particular land that's controlled by our prison department sits on the very edge of Riverton, that city that the river runs through. So this is one direction to go. If we want to delay it and kill it and make it more difficult for that community to grow, then I guess pass this amendment. I'm still confused exactly what this amendment does. As a minimum, I think it's going to require them to get yet another appraisal. And my guess is this appraisal will likely come in substantially less than the last appraisal, probably way under the 90% of the last appraisal. So I think this will actually hurt the bottom line of the state. And if we pass this, I'm going to bring a third reading amendment to make the state pay for this. Because the local economic development group has already paid for this a number of times. Or, maybe even require them to accept the existing appraisal. That would be in the best case, because I think the existing appraisal will be higher than a new appraisal.
For the second
time. So vote no.
For the second time, Representative Clam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, and hopefully the good speaker then can answer this question. And I don't know if he knows this. It hasn't really been. I didn't ask this before, but do we know when this property is going to auction? Is this within the next 3 months, the next 6 months? And if we pass this amendment, will that delay the process? That's number one. Number two, I agree. With the good chair of appropriations, I think it is our constitutional duty to get the best bang for our buck. And so I'm not necessarily opposed to that. But what I'm hearing is that they did these appraisals, that the numbers basically come out to about 300,000, as the best and highest use. 1 point. Okay. And I guess my concern is then if we have this 90% language in there, does that somehow mean that the auction, if they're starting out at the appraisal price, and we have this language in there, does that mean it's going to be 10% less when they start bidding? And if that's the case, then we're not getting the best bang for our buck. In fact, if it doesn't reach that 100% threshold, we actually lose money. And so I really like the spirit of this amendment, but I'm just not sure if this is the best route to go quite yet. And maybe there needs to be some more work on this for a third reading amendment. Get rid of that 90% language. So at this point, I would urge you to vote no.
Anyone else for the second time? Second time prior to the sponsors, Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Look, here's what I heard last time when we finished. What I heard last time was we're going to go to a Wild West auction. We're just going to stand up there with an auctioneer, a bunch of people gathered around, and we're going to auction this property. We're going to knock it down for whatever the highest price is. That's dangerous business. That's really dangerous business. And so what this amendment does is put back in the requirement that was stricken that says no less than 90% of the appraised value. Now, the appraisal doesn't have to be the day before the auction. There's all kinds of rules out there, and I frankly can't tell you what it is in this, but it's just got to be an appraisal that's contemporary with the price. And if the appraisal is too far out of date, then maybe it needs a little bit of an update. It doesn't need to be totally reappraised again. The 90% recognizes the fact that the appraisal might not be right on. And so we say, okay, if we have an appraisal that's contemporaneous in time, that tells us, gives an idea of what this value is, and the appraiser's evaluated all the comparable values and brings us in as a value, we'll accept 10% one way. We may get 10% more. The appraisal doesn't mean that that's the most we're going to get. Sometimes these auctions run way over the appraisal. Sometimes they go under. How far are we going to let it go under before we say, whoa, let's stop. Something's wrong here because we've got an auction price that's way below what the appraiser says the value is. So you go to borrow money at the bank. How do they do that? You offer collateral. How do they do that? It's 80% of the appraised value is the typical. Or in a business situation, it might be 50%, but it's tied to the appraised value. You take the appraised value and you say, okay, we can tolerate some percentage of deviation from that, but the real question is, how much are we going to let it go below what a man or a woman who's trained in this business and looks at all the comparables and the market and everything and says, here's what I think the value is. 10% below is fine. That doesn't mean the auctioneer has to start it now. He can start it at a buck if he wants to. It doesn't matter where the auctioneer starts, but it's got to end up within 90% of that appraised value, from anywhere from there up. And as I say, we don't put limits on the top and say, well, you can't pay more than 110%. It can go frequently. They outrun the appraised value.
Point of order, Mr. Whip. Could I have a rules meeting?
Would the Rules Committee please come forward? And Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Whip, in the interest of peace, I withdraw the amendment.
Second reading amendment number one to Senate File 41 has been withdrawn, and we have a privilege of the floor or two. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members, we have a whole crowd of Boy Scouts back in the aquarium, Troop 116, and their leaders, and we see them every year, first time here. I'd like to invite all of them to stand, and if we could welcome them, I would appreciate it.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to single out some of those scouts back there, we have Stephen Allen, the district chair, Dennis Freeman, Sean Sherwin, and Bill Beyer from scouts number 312. If they could stand up and we can welcome them to the House. Scouts, you can stand up too.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce you to my wife's oldest sister's daughter and daughter's husband, and his son from Rock Springs, and that's Steve and Nicholas Allen.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Larson.
Privilege of the floor, please.
Please.
Folks, I'd like to introduce young Mr. Tiancum Whiting sitting here, who's got his eagle neckerchief on. Ian is the last of six brothers in the Whiting family to receive his Eagle Scout Award. And so, Tiancum, if you'd stand up. But, folks, more importantly, I would like to introduce Tiancum's mother, Camille Whiting, because any of you who have been around Eagle Scouts know that the driving motivation is their mother. So let's give Camille a big hand.
Okay, we're now on second reading amendment number two to Senate File 41, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading of amendment number two to Senate File 41, and I'd like to explain the amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a real simple bill, or amendment, I should say. What it does is it, on page 19, 21, 22, there's mention made of the 1% severance tax fund or account that would be used to guarantee the SIPAs for 2017 and 2018. And all it does is it takes out the 1% and it puts in the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. And what this does, folks, we've got handouts here that showed a table of these expenditures that were in the were going to be coming out of the SIPAs, excuse me. And there was also the Laramie legislator had a picture of it. So if you like a picture, if you like a table, you can kind of see what it's doing. It just takes the 1% severance out and puts in the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. And so what it's simply doing is disencumbering that 1% diversion money from guaranteeing the SIPAs in those two fiscal years and uses the LSRA instead. And I maintain that that's really the purpose of the LSRA. We're talking about if the SIPA doesn't fill up with money, how are we going to fill it up in those 2 years? To me, it should come from a stabilization reserve account if it comes from anywhere. I also put on page 22 in section 9 a limit up to $150 million from the LSRA for that guarantee, purpose of that guarantee. And this all, you know, we had some discussion about this yesterday. You know, we had five different bills this year, and it wasn't clear as we went through these bills sequentially, you know, whether that 1% diversion really had a use to it. And, you know, now that we've had all five of the bills before us and we know pretty much the form they're in, we know that we probably really didn't need to divert that away from the permanent fund anyway. But that's done. I mean, we've already done that in House Bill 1. But my argument is, as long as we don't encumber that 1% money, at the end of 2 years, it will be able, at the end of the fiscal or the biennium, we'll be able to divert it into the permanent fund at that time, providing it's not encumbered by something like this. So that's basically the bill. I think it increases the odds that the 1% diversion can go back where it belongs, which is in the permanent fund, and I would urge your support.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm on in support of this amendment. I think the reason I like it is, number one, it disconnects the 1% from CapCon, even though it's really being used in the backup role. I kind of like that because as we go forward, we may need that 1% for education or other things. Education is obviously the one I always stand most concerned about. But it kind of, we don't obligate it. And I know this isn't obligating it for future generations, but we start down a track and we never seem to get out of it. And the other reason is it also, by hitching that to the LSRA, it makes us have the same hard discussion and hard decision that we had about local government funding. Are we really going to dip into our rainy day savings for local government funding? Are we really going to dip into our savings? Really, in essence, all we're doing is backing up money here, but it's the same thing with CapCon. Are we really going to back it up with LSRA, where I think it makes it a harder decision than the 1%? So stand on in support of this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question really then, so if you guarantee this, and odds are hopefully it wouldn't be used, but what does that do? Let's say it is, I guess, and that's what we were, this whole idea of hanging on to our cash. What does that do to the yearly burn rate then over the biennium? We're sitting at about 6.6 or 7%, I think, with the 220 million currently, and then you add this to it, so that goes to, is it 150, I think, on the amendment to guarantee, so that takes it to 370, and just some discussion about that. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. The reason I like it, and I know the Chairman of Revenue talked about what happens in 2 years, and I'm probably more optimistic than a lot of you about our finances, but this also doesn't tie it for next year. And as we've had these conversations on this, the 1% fund, which I've never totally understood, but I've gone along with it because we are in a, I think things went to heck a little quicker than we were expecting, but if they come back a year from now, this doesn't commit the money, and we could actually take, you know, that fund and dump it into PMTF next year. We talked a lot about the burn rate and all these charts I've seen on the burn rate. I haven't seen what effect it has if we pass a constitutional amendment on a lot of these funds in November. I imagine if we get a better investment income on most of those funds, our burn rate's actually going to decrease. And I mean, gas outside my house went up 10 cents this week, so I can be optimistic it might keep going up all year long. But I like this amendment that it does give us some flexibility next year, that if the picture does come back and things are actually doing well, whether or not, then we can move the money into the PMGF at that point.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm more favorable to this amendment. I'm not necessarily opposed. I think one of the things that's interesting here is you know, when we talk about backing up some of these CapCon projects with the LSRA, then we get a little worried. And then we kind of question, well, maybe, at least that's what I'm hearing, is well, maybe these CapCon projects shouldn't be done if it's going to increase the burn rate on the LSRA. And I guess it's all where the money comes from. So if indeed this would affect the LSRA, we would still have that 1% severance hanging out there somewhere that wouldn't be used, that we could either tip back into the permanent fund or we could use for other things later on. So I think this is an okay amendment, and I think I'm going to vote aye.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And for the good bringer of the amendment, I'd like to know why you have a $150 million guarantee and not $115 million, because so I don't know why you added $45 million on a guarantee when the guarantee under the 1% is only $115 million. So in other words, you're guaranteeing more to be spent than what we have done with this account. But and obviously I'm in opposition to this. We fought this battle once before, and now it's coming back again. And I would submit to you that regardless of the good intentions of the bringer of this amendment, what we are doing is we are making more funds available to spend more dollars. And if our purpose is to save money at the end of the day and live a life as frugally as possible, and I would respectfully submit that you defeat this amendment.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good discussion. I'm just thinking, if we want to spend money, if I had something that I wanted to buy in my house or for my business, I ought to have enough money to cover the expenses of that expenditure. If I don't have enough money, then maybe I shouldn't be building or doing what I'm doing. So I guess what I'm suggesting, if we don't have enough money to cover these projects that we're talking about in Senate File 41, maybe instead of trying to guarantee them from another source, the 1%, maybe we ought to be backing off a little bit. I just think it's whatever money you have, that's what you have to use. If you don't have it, you don't use it. And the 1% says, well, we'll spend it, and if we need to back it up, then we'll do it. I'm not sure I like that. So I'm in favor of this for if we want to spend it, we want to build it, then let's fund it. So on and for this amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did the math quickly. I hadn't done it until after I spoke the first time, really for the second time. So that moves the burn rate up then to about 10.27% per year on the LSRA. But I think as much as anything, we heard this discussion, and this discussion is going to keep coming. And really, I think several of these amendments are really about trying to move this money into the LSRA, these following ones. But this one particularly, I think, and when you talk about interest return, and let's say we want to maybe, because I heard that it could be back into the permanent fund for which it was intended. I was here when we passed the statute to actually save the 1% statutory return before then. Of course, we'd spent it in those lean times in the 80s and 90s. But just looking, I got the interest comparison, the return on the PMTF versus the state agency pool. So, you know, judging on the last year, this previous year, the agency pool is actually outperforming the permanent mineral trust fund. So it would make sense to actually leave it in the agency pool. But if you look at the 10-year return, just look at the 10-year, the agency pool, 4.37% return, PMTF 5.36. So a difference of less than a percent. And so I think there's, you know, at the end of the day, I think the good representative from Cheyenne, I think, couched it right. And a lot of discussion, and I appreciate the discussion on what to do with this 1% statutory. You know, my first proposal was to put it all on the school side of the budget. That's what I think that's where we're going to need it. There were other members of the Appropriations Committee said, let's put it into the general fund. That's where we're going to need it this year to offset any reductions. And so, frankly, we couldn't agree, and so we set it out there. And then you start thinking about, okay, how do we time these projects? Because, you know, there'll be some proposals coming up to delay, but there's a real cost in delaying. And as I mentioned to you, the return is about 1.3% in the past year, 4% over 10 years. But, you know, compare that to construction inflation and how that the real cost of the state. So there's a real opportunity loss there, and I think that is really important. That'll be millions and millions of dollars. And so, again, I think it comes down to what are we going to do with these one-time revenues we're going to get? And do we want to invest in these facilities that'll be around for another 60 years, or are we going to and I know this amendment guaranteed it out of a different point, but I'll be saying probably the similar things on the rest of these. But I'd urge caution. I think we had a nice balance, taking into all the thoughts of the committee and the testimony and all those things, and looking a way that we could preserve our cash going down the road and for all these things that are important to us from that we've done currently this year. So. Welcome the discussion, and going to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And, you know, if we talk about a burn rate on the LISRA, that's assuming that we're actually going to need this backup, which the projection on the 1% was we're not really going to use it. It's just backup. So if it isn't just backup, then I think this is an even better discussion to be had. Do you want to be taking it out of the 1%, or do you want to be taking it out of the LISRA, where you have to make that hard decision? And I really think it's time to disconnect the 1%, which is continuing money, not one-time money. We need to disconnect that 1% from CapCon flows, because going forward, it's going to be easier and easier for people to say, well, we used that for CapCon last year. So I stand on in support of this amendment.
Representative Clem, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I couldn't agree more with the last speaker there. You think about it, best case scenario, if we pass this amendment, best case scenario, we don't tap into the LSRA, and we do not, we have that cash sitting out there for whatever it is that we need. And I think there was some real wisdom in the Appropriations Committee and having this 1% out there waiting for whatever the best use is, whether that was into the general funds, or I particularly agree with the chairman of appropriations as far as the school financing piece. I think that's probably where we're going to need it most in the next biennium. But that being said, if we don't pass this amendment, then what we're doing is we're basically earmarking that 1%, and we're saying that's going to be used for CapCon building, worst case scenario. And I like this amendment because it frees up that money and it just puts it out there so that we can later on examine what we have before us and make the best possible decision. So on and for this amendment.
Chairman Swanser, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also for the amendment. And I heard a lot of good comments. I was also here, and we passed the 1% statutory, and we've defended it very well. That may be the only thing that we've defended well every year and said we're going to keep doing what we're doing. You know, I was here when we created the SIPA, and we had that fight. I was here when we tried to do away with the SIPA, and then we brought it back, and then we codified it. And one more, I guess what I'm trying to tell you all is things change every year around here, even for a conservative state when it comes to our budget. And I remember, for those of you who were here, and we fought for the lottery for many times, the argument always was, well, where does the money go? And the argument on passing the lottery was, we got to figure out, you know, where the revenue is going to go. And finally, when we got smart, we said, you know, let's just create a pot of money, and then we won't have the argument on where the money goes. It'll just go into a pot, and we'll decide later. And so when I follow the discussions and hear about what the Appropriations Committee, as you heard, you know, they all had different thoughts and feelings of where the pot of money should go. I think in the end, and this is maybe, I'm just saying this because this is what I believe, they just said, hey, we're going to create a pot of money and hold it out here because we can't agree where to spend it this year. But what I do know is next year, and we have a new election cycle, usually a fourth to a third of this body changes over and a couple members down the hall, and there will be a new policy and a new thought process, and we'll have a different revenue picture. And so I'm in favor of the amendment just because I don't know what's going to happen a year from now, but I do know we'll have some new folks and on different committees and in this body, and we'll have a different revenue picture. And I generally like to support anything that doesn't tie us down. And so that's why I'd encourage you to vote for the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, all, House, for the good discussion. I think a lot of things came out. I'm just going to summarize by looking at responding to some of the comments that were made. You know, it really gets down to a matter of philosophy. You know, if we think, or if you think that the diverting of the 1% away from the permanent fund is the first resort when we have a budget crunch, then you're not going to like my amendment. I look at that diversion away from a permanent fund as being the last resort, not the first resort. If we have to do it 2 years from now, I would support it, you know, if we really needed it. But we've demonstrated all we're using it for is a guarantee at this point. And let's talk about that $150 million. How did I get that number? If you look at the handouts, you know, the SIPA, you know, the percentage of the SIP, of the spending policy amount that diverts into the SIP generates, it takes about $75 million, okay? Now, I don't think any of us think that we're going to be using all of that $75 million out of this guarantee. You know, remember we had three years out of 15 that the spending policy amount didn't meet the amount that we would require for us not to use this backup at all, okay? So the odds are good. Doesn't mean it can't happen because that's what odds are, all right? The 150 million then is, of course, two times 75 million, and that would be the absolute worst case basis. I think using the LSRA argument is strengthened by the fact that it will not have a material impact in all likelihood on the burn rate of the LSRA. That 10.27 burn rate would be that amount if we had zero flowing into the SIPA in both of those years. You know, I'm willing to almost bet my kingdom that that won't be the case. Almost, I said. The other thing I think has that this offers is that it forces us to consider capital construction options and choices we make relative to our cash, okay? And that's really what the LSRA is. It's our cash, and we should do it just like we do when we go out and buy a new car, all right? It's relative to our cash. Someone brought up the idea of the future school needs, you know, and I think that's you know, if we were just talking yesterday in here. Most of you weren't here, but there's a lot of us here. And we were talking about what this foundation account's going to look like 2 years from now. You know, it looks like it could be okay, and it depends on what we do with capital facilities in the interim. But, you know, it's not a guarantee. You know, when that hits us, if our ad valorem falls short, and we have to get into general funds, I think maybe we're at a last resort at that point. But I don't think we are at a last resort now. So I guess that's the way I look at it, and I appreciate your attention and also appreciate your support for the amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. Division. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Less than 38. Okay, second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 41. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File number 41. And folks, if you turn to page 6, line 11, you'll see this is the $13 million for the A&I building in Casper. And this is along the same lines of a philosophical kind of argument. Do you believe that things are going to bounce back, or do you think things are going to be slowed down for a bit? Because if things are going to be slowed down for a bit, my argument is that there's going to be plenty of office space available in Casper here pretty quick. But if things are going to turn around real quick, then we'll need some office space. And that's kind of the gamble that's going on with this one. It's pretty simple, and I'll stand for any questions.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I guess I would submit that it is not very simple. In fact, this appropriation that you see in this bill is the culmination of about 3 years worth of work that started when the state of Wyoming received notice from the city of Casper of health and safety deficiencies in its building in Casper. And what subsequent investigation found out is that there were approximately, round numbers, $8 to $9 million worth of improvements, including fire suppression and those sorts of things, needed to a building that the state owns. It's worth about $2 million. And so that really kicked off this look at, well, I mean, that obviously doesn't make sense, so what do we do? And really this project is not just to deal with that building. It's to deal with three separate state buildings, one of which has now been sold for about $700,000 to the local downtown development authority. Those employees have been displaced and are in temporary facilities awaiting the development and the construction of this office building. There was also an analysis of the payback for the state and whether this made financial sense to the state, and it showed that really the state ends up, because we're taking folks out of lease space as well as replacing those old and outdated buildings, and that the payoff was about a 12-year payoff for bringing in all those lease facilities. Another piece of the puzzle was that you have folks that are receiving services from the state of Wyoming that are scattered all over and that are removed from for the court system and that sort of thing. So this brought everything into one place so that constituents from around the state could receive their services in one place rather than having to zoom all around that Casper. So ultimately what we have then is that there has been land purchased for the building. There have been options obtained for the building. There has been a building sold and employees relocated to temporary facilities, and we're ready to get moving on the project. And I think the part that you don't see in this amendment, which I think is a shortcoming, is where, if you're going to take out this funding, you have to replace it. You have to replace it with additional costs for lease facilities for those employees, because the notice we got on the building is 3 years old, and they said you have to have these remedied within the next 3 years or show good faith towards moving. Otherwise, we're essentially going to close down the building. So we need, if you're not going to approve this building, what you need to also do is appropriate substantial funds so that we can start leasing additional office space for those employees that are going to be dislocated. So, I mean, you need to know all those pieces and be able to put all those pieces together before you vote for this amendment. And I would just ask that you do that rather than just strike dollar amounts that probably are going to cost us more in the long run.
Chairman Lockhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree totally with what the previous speaker said. We've got an obligation to do the right thing for the right reasons, and we have both of those in this, in the analysis, and it's been going on for a long time. It's time to act on it, not to set it back.
Representative Burkhardt, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to echo the two previous speakers on and against this amendment, but remember, the city there has been very good in working with us in getting this done. They've asked for, you know, they've trusted our good faith efforts to get these buildings taken care of. If we go back now and say, no, we're not going to do it, we're going to delay it, I think the city has every right to come in and say, we're going to exercise our authority and condemn these buildings, or one of them anyway. Get your people out of there. You have 30 days or whatever the notice is on life code, life safety code violations, and that you haven't acted in good faith. We gave you time, and you've decided not to do anything. Go find other digs to live in. Right now, I'm not sure that you could find enough office space to house these people kind of centrally. You would, again, scatter them all over Casper. One thing, too, with all of these, and I see there are a number of amendments that we have to remember, each amendment, each project was funded for a specific reason. These weren't randomly selected. This one was not randomly selected. We need to concentrate the people in one place. We need to take care of the safety code violations by doing that, and probably these buildings most likely would be torn down or something else done with them. So really, on and against the amendment, we need to take care of our people in Casper, the state people, and also meet the needs of the city.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just have a question for the good appropriation member from the middle of the city, at the middle of the state that was spoke before. And that is, were we moving out state employees based upon the assumption we were going to get this building, or were we moving out state employees because they had to move out of a building? So I hope we weren't doing something in anticipation of money that hadn't been appropriated yet.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just need clarification, not pro or con on the amendment. I'm just wondering why on page 6 we're striking 11 and not 12. If we try to remove 11, what kind of implications that places on 12? I just want more information so I see how these two budget items hinge together, if I could get that information. Thanks.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The folks that have spoken in favor of this have pointed out some good reasons, and I think one thing that I'm not sure of is the land has been purchased. I thought the next line of the $7 million was because we had an option on some land and we were going to exercise that. That's why the $7 million was left in there, for doing some preliminary things and moving ahead. So as we're the state or the officials, whoever was brought up, are saying, you know, you're doing nothing, this is doing something, because we did leave $7 million in there to get the land and move ahead a bit. But I think this is a state responsibility to take care of its workers. We knew this was coming, so I think this is a good amendment. I'm for this amendment. I think now isn't the time, with our revenues the way they are, to just continue to go ahead. Let's proceed, but let's proceed a little slowly on this one. So for this amendment.
Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple quick points. So the $13 million that is deleted, just these one-time dollars, and these are these one-time dollars that are coming to the state, going to the YDOT, and then will be switched to general funds. YDOT will return general funds. So these one-time dollars then will remain in the general fund as I read this. And then just a couple quick points. There's three buildings, seven rental sites. I think the newest one is 60 years old, and that's the one. The other one's 80 years old, and then a previous 60-year-old building has been sold. The largest one is on the corner of Midwest and Center. You've probably seen it if you've driven down Center Street. It's basically it's upside down. It's worth $2 million, and we owe $9 million, and that have been the city has put against this building 2 years ago and has been working with us because we've been working on this project. So, and again, the payment that the good speaker pro tem talked about is a 12-year mortgage, basically, to pay it back with savings that we pay currently in rent on seven sites throughout Casper, from to the west, a small town to the west, to a small town to the east. And, again, so that's it. And there is an option on the properties. As I read this amendment, it is not included in this amendment. But, again, if we're, I'm wondering what the plan is on this, on these one-time funds. Are we just going to keep them in the general fund and I guess we'll appropriate them as we appropriate for other ongoing items. So on and against. And I encourage you all to vote against this. And I think it's this is one of our five appropriations bills. Been a lot of work on this. And I think if you have questions about any of these projects, we can get you the information. And I know, you know, appreciate all the dialogue, but there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of work's gone into this, and we'd certainly answer any questions you have. So I encourage us to work on that and vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Neither for or against the amendment. Certainly happy the $7 million is still in. Just to answer some questions from State Building Commission, we do have several sites and have some earnest money down that come due in a couple of months. And I have a fine line in my mind of what was in the executive session, what's public, so I'm trying to not cross any lines here. The building itself, there have been, I think, level one and level two drawings of potentials. But I do remember in the public meeting, the chief executive did tell the city that, you know, this might not happen. We might not build a building for the next 5 years. Do you fully understand that when we get into the process? And the city said, yes, we understand. The state can make no promises on building a new building at this time for those employees of one of our agencies that moved out. So just wanted to add that to the discussion. Certainly the land purchase funds are, in my mind, are necessary and needed, and we've worked on those for 2.5 years almost at this point to try to get some property for a potential building and site in the future. Whether we want to put money down towards a project this year is certainly a policy decision up to the body, but wanted to answer those questions.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer one of the following-up questions about the building that was sold and the employees that were moved out and put into to temporary facilities. That was actually a decision that was made by the State Building Commission, so I think you probably need to talk to the five of of them to truly get at the root of that decision. But I can tell you that the discussions were let me back up. The part of the deal was the downtown development group purchased that property, but as part of that purchase, they also committed to providing 3 years of temporary housing for those employees. So that's at the expense of the local downtown development authority, but it is simply a 3-year period. And, a lot of the discussion was, look, we've got to do something there. And so it was, I think, in some measure, a leap of faith that something would probably happen down the road. But again, that was a decision made by the building commission that you would probably have to talk to them about. And backing up to the land acquisitions, again, we have exercised an option already on land downtown. The rest of these monies are to acquire other lands nearby that are also have options on them. Because the plan that was adopted essentially is a building with surface parking, so that's why you see additional monies in this bill for the land acquisition.
Representative Yegi, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Answer the question about where is this money going, brought up by the chairman of appropriations. As these bills were, or these amendments were drafted, the intent was to put it all in the LSRA. But we were told we couldn't put it in the LSRA because this is a general fund, and so if you're going to remove it, it needs to stay in the general fund. I questioned that. I really wanted it in the LSRA so we would have a little more control over it, but that's what we were told, and that's why it's going in the general fund instead of the LSRA on the advice that we were given. So I still think a little bit of caution on this, studying this, buying the land with the $7 million is a good plan. We can move ahead, and when our economic future gets a little better, I think this would be a good project. So for this amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and lots of good discussion in regards to what we're on the outset looking towards in the future. What it really comes down to and what we're really looking at is where are we gambling with this money? That $13 million, if this amendment passes, rolls back to the general fund, and if times have turned around, we can look at this project next year. I mean, we're not even promising to have even started next year. We've got different land acquisitions we're looking at with that $7 million, and that's why that we've got earnest money down in that situation. That's why that $7 million is left alone on line 12 of page 6. That way we're not squandering our money. But on and for the amendment, thank you much.
We're voting on third reading amendment. Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 3 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 40. Oh, Representative Baker, I'm sorry. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you. Members, if you'll join me in welcoming some members from Rock Springs. We have Amy Allen, the Director of our Public Service, Jennifer Shields, our City Planner, Rose Mosby, Glenice Wharf, and David Tate, all councilmen from Rock Springs. They're down here to talk about the Bitter Creek to our fellow colleagues across the floor or across the way there. So welcome them, if you would, please. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker, can I have the privilege of the floor?
Yes, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to introduce you. There's a group of homeschoolers from Casper that have come down to watch us in action. And if you guys would stand up so we can welcome you to the House.
Now, we're on second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 41, Representative Pieperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
brothers and sisters of the 63rd, I move Amendment 4 to House Bill 41 and ask for your favorable consideration. My amendment simply removes from the bill the Health Facilities Task Force, an assemblage of the legislative and executive branches, and replaces it with the State Building Commission, a direct appendage to the executive branch. All the tasks and responsibilities remain the same. I draw your attention to page 12, line 17, at section 4 and throughout that section. In Civics 101, we are taught that there are three branches of government, each having its responsibility of power. We, the legislative branch, make the law. The executive branch enforces and carries out the law. And the judicial branch interprets the law. We are also given clear direction in Article 2, Section 1 of the Wyoming Constitution. A rereading of that article can be quite illustrative. Quote, powers of government divided into three departments. The powers of the government of this state are divided into three distinct departments, the legislative, executive, and judicial. And no person or collection of persons charged with the exercise of powers properly belonging to one of these departments shall exercise any powers properly belonging to either of the others, except as this Constitution expressly directs or permits. Close quote. A Constitution defines and limits the power of the government it creates. It therefore follows as a natural and also a logical result that the governmental exercise of any power not authorized by the Constitution is an assumed power and therefore illegal. From a legal analysis I received from the LSO regarding Senate File 41, my concerns were amplified when they wrote, quote, while all these examples are currently in law, Senate File 41 appears to retain a level of legislative participation in the Level 3 design study for these healthcare facilities that on most instances are exercised by the executive branch. Executive functions should be carried out and administered by the executive branch. The proposed task force, comprised up of legislators from both houses, along with two executive branch appointees, are charged to be engaged with executive functions, such as implementation of recommendations, procuring and supervising a Level 3 design study, evaluating potential options for the management and ownership structure of the Wyoming Retirement Center, etc. I believe these tasks are attributable to the executive branch of government through its State Building Commission. Will you join with me in realigning what we do in government with constitutional prescriptions? I stand for questions.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd encourage the body to defeat this amendment, and I think of the task force, and granted my tenure here in this body has not been for an extended period of time, but I think if the intent of this body is to have a close working relationship with the people, this task force has indeed done that. We've had members of the legislative body, meaning the House and the Senate, and we have had the executive branch, as the good representative from the southeast corner of the state has mentioned. And we have met on a regular basis and held public hearings on a regular basis with the members or with the citizens of this state on how we should deal with these citizens of our state that are covered and served by the state facilities. And in doing so, try to determine best how to use the resources that we as legislators legislate to use, being the funds, in an economic and fiscally responsive manner. We've also had to, and will continue have to, continue having to look at what statute changes may possibly be necessary, which is outside the purview of the State Building Commission. That's something that the legislative body should do. The thing that I've enjoyed most about this task force is the checks and balances that have existed, meaning that those representatives from the executive branch have had to report back to their executive officer, being the big guy down the hall, and we as legislative members have had to report back to two standing committees, the Appropriations Committee and the Labor, Health, and Social Service Committee. I'll share with you that the statute changes that we've adopted in this last session went through, I think, seven, I know six for sure, and I'm thinking we were on the seventh change as a result of meeting with and reporting back and making corrective changes with the standing committees whose oversight it has been on these two, on this task force responsibility. When we talk about the possible changes or for what we may do with the Life Resource Center up in the middle part of the state, and we think about turning that responsibility solely over to the Building Commission, it has been my privilege, and I think my responsibility as a member of this task force, to meet with the good representative from the lands of warm waters on numerous occasions with those people for whom this facility serves, and to have some very lengthy and in-depth discussions on what they feel we, as their representatives, responsibility is concerning that particular facility. The other nice thing that I've really appreciated about this task force is as we move forward with the executive branch and the legislative branch together, we've been able to circumvent time-wise the length of time that I think that it would take if we solely put that onto the executive branch, have them go through, as we have seen in the past, come back to the legislative branch for appropriations and have us say, now how did they get to that? What on earth was they thinking when they done to that? And so then we have to go through the process of replowing the ground or identifying the shortcomings that we see in their recommendations because we're appropriating the money. And we will also be making the necessary statute changes. This task force has been able to combine that because on the committee we've also had the administrators for A&I whose responsibility it is to draft the level 1, level 2, and moving forward level 3 requirements for the design. I think it's been a very efficient task force, and I think the other thing that we've been able to do that perhaps the Building Commission couldn't do is pick some expertise in there legislatively and from the executive branch that the Building Commission couldn't do. So I would really encourage you to resist this. And here we are. Since 2013, we've moved forward. 2014, we created the task force. It was a governor's task force. Then it was created last year to be a legislative task force so that we could move forward with the legislative changes and report back to the standing committees. And now we are in the middle of this whole process, and as we have historically learned, this isn't the time to jump ship or to throw the oars out and try and paddle with some new ones. We've seen examples of that on some other programs, and I would submit to you that this one's headed down the river, the right path, and I would just again encourage you to resist this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple different components of it. First of all, let's just talk about it from a practical standpoint. When the task force got together and got involved to complete the Level 2 study, we went to the A&I and the State Building Commission concept, and ask them what was going on and what they were doing. And we said, wait a minute, you've got to put this out to public bid on the level two. A&I and the construction folks, no, we like the guys that did our conceptual designs. We said, no, we're not going to do that. And so then we went out to bid, and guess what? Just because of our task force, we saved almost over $1 million just like that because of the Schedule 2. We had $1.5 million appropriated, and it came in around $500,000. So just like that, we saved, not only did we save $1 million through this task force, but we got a better bid and better folks who were coming in and bidding on the project because we actually had them do it twice because there wasn't sufficient information out there, so we did a bunch of things like that. So then as a practical task force, as a practical matter, we've already done a lot of neat things. But then, and then follow up on exactly what we're doing. And this will weave into the constitutional issue in a bit. But here we are. We've got these two projects and maybe a few projects coming in after these two at the Life Resource Center and the State Hospital. It's a minimum, really a minimum of $140 million of worse spending of taxpayers' dollars. And so then you ask yourselves, because we are the appropriators, and basically we are responsible for these two buildings, no different than we are responsible for the state penitentiary, which is now, as you all know, slowly sinking into the ground. And so what's our responsibility to say, never again? Never again are we going to let a construction building get built that then 15 years later we don't have any legal recourse or anything to do with it. And so then that concept is, okay, so we really, our final obligation as legislators is to create these task force, but not only just create the task force. I mean, it's an absolute labor of love because we have to figure out where these 70, 80 million bucks per building, what that building's going to look like, what the needs are and what the assessments are, and whether or not we agree with these level two and level three design levels. And in addition to that, then we have to go in there and make sure that we've got enough oversight that there aren't mistakes done. And I can tell you that had we been more forthright in 2002, we wouldn't have this problem in Rawlins. We just wouldn't be having it because there was more oversight over it. We're looking at this exact same issue right now on the Capitol building. There were reasons why we came in and created the oversight committee because, number one, A&I honestly did not have the expertise to do what they did. The State Building Commission did not have the expertise to do the projects that, as they were going forward. And we had, and, I mean, honestly, we're just going, oh, my goodness, we're spending all this money, and yet we don't have our finger on the pulse. We don't know what's going on and going right. And so if we're not accountable, who the heck is? And now let's weave that back into the constitutional argument. I would say just the opposite. We have a fundamental constitutional duty because we are the appropriators to make sure that the dollars that we appropriate are done in such a way that it's the highest and best use of those dollars and that it's not just an administrative bureaucracy who's out there doing what they want with no controls over it. I mean, so I think he's reading the report out of context. This is our fundamental duty. It's one of the most important things we can do. And whether or not it should be $70,000 for the committee or not, to me, that's a valid argument. We met 7 or 8 or 9 times, plus who knows how many times over the phone on subcommittees and doing different things. And a good representative from Lander probably spent at least half of the entire year working on this to the, consternation of his family and his job and everything else. But just done a remarkable job. But at the end of the day, when we spend $150 million, are we doing that the best? Are we taking care of the folks in the best way? Are we doing the best projects? And it's an ongoing obligation that we simply have to do. And if we don't do it, then we're stepping outside our constitutional duties and in the best interest of our constituents.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just would like, when the bringer of the amendment comes back up, the amendment on page 12, line 17, looks like we're just creating a new Department of State Government, the Department of Health Facilities. I just want to make sure that that was the intent. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would suggest that this task force isn't the task force that we've had before. This is a brand new task force, and if you'll look on page 13, it's made up of 3 members of the Senate, 3 members of the House, and 2 members from the executive appointment. So that is the committee, or that's the task force. This isn't the other one. And then if you look on page 14, it just says we're going to do it all. Procure and supervise level 3, evaluate potential options for the management and ownership structure of the Wyoming Retirement Center. I have a little question on that one. I'm providing an interim report. And then if you go back on page 16, there's $9 million appropriated for the doing all that these 8 members are going to do to come up with this. I'm not sure this is the task force that we're talking about. So this is a brand new one made up of just legislators and the executive. So I'm not sure I can go along with this. I think the amendment is trying to address that, so I'm for this. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Pipirinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the representative from District 49 for helping to clarify the task force issue. I certainly expected the defending of the status quo. Nevertheless, a state building commission can report to the legislative branch for any prescriptive changes that may be needed. Furthermore, circumvention of time and practicality are no reasons to circumvent constitutional directives. I ask for your favorable opinion.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 4 fails. We're now on second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 41. Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 41. Being in construction most of all my life, I started looking at this and I was thinking, you know, this amendment here would pull out the $20 million that goes towards the capital construction projects in 2017 and $20 million in 2018. And so I was thinking, is this really the right time to make that statement and to add more money to this fund right now? Because really, the general contractor is supposed to come to us with a not-to-exceed price by July. So if we maybe go beforehand and put more money into this account, is that going to sway, or would it sway your opinion on bidding a project saying, well, now there's more money in there, should I increase this budget amount? So I urge us to use a little caution maybe and just... This amendment just puts it back in the LSRA for maybe addressing next year after we have this maximum contract amount. So I look at this, it maybe giving us a little better position in the negotiations, and I would stand for any questions.
Representative Greer, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With respect to the bringer of the amendment, I agree with most of his comments, and I think that's why you saw we push those payments down to the bottom of the priority list. I just want the body to keep in mind that we passed legislation regarding this project, and that the cap on that is $300 million. And so that number's already there. All we're doing is making payments towards, and I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers of where we are on the payments, but my understanding was we had 3 or 4 more payments to go. So all we're doing is making payments so we have the money ready so that project's paid for, not a burden. Maybe somebody else from JC can help me with how much we had saved before we had the legislation and the payments that we've made since then. But that number's already there.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I have enormous respect for the good representative that brought this amendment, but I just want to share with you the process as I learned and went through it on the level one, level two studies for the two task force. Last year, we appropriated $1.5 million. We figured that should cover level one and level two studies. And so if you've got that in there, you think, well, there it's appropriated. So then those who are bidding on it will know what's in the pot and bid for that amount. And indeed, we had one contractor that come in right to the penny of what we had appropriated from this body. But none of the others did. We had six bidders, and the last one was just a little over half. And so those that would bid that for the exact, if you just had one bidder, I think that argument is very valid. But if you have multiple bidders, they know what the maximum amount is, and then they've got to try and they know that they've got to come in there and be competitive, and it certainly has to be less than that. So that's just my experience in that process with the state funds.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against an amendment, and just to explain a couple, I think I do have the cash balance in the rehabilitation restoration account right now is $130 million. It's more than that. There is the total amount is $184.5 million. $54 million of that is already committed, essentially. So that's where we are as far as the current dollar amounts. The total appropriation for the project is $291 million. And so that's the balance. It's the difference between the 291 and 222 is what's left to deposit. But the important thing to remember is this: taking this $20 million appropriation out doesn't do anything as far as the amount of funds available for it. But all it does is change where those funds come from, because we've guaranteed these payments already. We've already said that the full amount that's statutorily allowed, the $291 million. What we don't have in the account right now will come out of the spending policy reserve account. So all this amendment does is it says, okay, we're not going to actually appropriate money to spend the obligations we've already made. We're going to pull it out of those monies that were intended to inflation-proof our permanent savings and would ultimately flow into our permanent savings. And so that's, the erroneous and sort of the bad policy position of this amendment. It says, okay, we've already passed the bill. We've made the commitment. We're just not going to pay for it. We'll pull it out of those that spending policy reserve account, those monies that really should go, that we're holding in trust for, you know, our kids and our kids' kids to make sure that permanent mental trust fund is fully funded and inflation-proof. So I'd urge your no vote on the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, just, the reason I did this is because I have in the past sat on a lot of negotiation committees, whether it be labor management, whether it be contract labor negotiations. And my thought here was, I'm not saying not to fund this. We certainly have passed the amount of money. But a gentle pushback at this time might send a message saying, you know, there might be some reconsideration with those people that have the purse. And maybe we better look at this project, you know, a little more frugal than normal. So that's what the intent was. Vote however your conscience.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 5 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 41. Representative Yegi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 41. A little bit of discussion to have on this one. Just a reminder of the economic situation we're in. This year, in 2016, we are short
$190 million in biennium 17-18. Our reserves are down several hundred million. These came from the finance folks. The forecast for the future isn't looking a whole lot better. Had one person in here say it might be a little better than we think, but probably it looks like it's going to decrease. And with all the agencies, departments taking some kind of reduction, I don't feel right now is the time to start another huge, big building. Just a little bit of what's in this bill also. I remember when we started the engineering building, I think the number that we were trying to get to was about $110 million. In that account, there is around $90 million right now, and in this bill, we're putting another $14.5 million. So that puts them fairly close to a project that we started funding 2 years ago, looking at what's going on with it. In your box, you have a handout that looks like this. It has graphs on both sides. I do have Senate File 41 and my name and House District on it. What this one shows you is the amount of money that we have put into the Capitol building of UW over the last 10 years. And they have some specific projects on there. If you'll look at them in the years that they were appropriated, and we've done some great things at UW. We've really built that up. We can be very proud of the things that are there. And if you just look at, you know, even what we did in the 15-16 biennium. But look at the last number, which is $896 million, $97 million. I think we are doing very well furnishing buildings for UW. The college across the hill. We've done well there. I think right now isn't really the time to be looking at this. I've been to the building, been on the tour last year with the folks from our college, went this year and looked at the type of teaching for this science initiative, visited the old buildings that are there, the old science buildings, and they are old. Visited, you know, the new one that's there and on the tour this year. Had a teaching demonstration of how they would like to use this initiative, and it's good. I used some of those same type of things when I was teaching in my biology, anatomy, physiology career. And I did them in a self-contained classroom. We just got up, moved around, and did the things that we need to do. So I think the building would be nice. I'm not saying the science initiative is not something worth considering. If you look on your sheet, the one that the good chair handed out, I think on Friday, you'll see the priority of this is not a real top priority. It's number 8 in this list. So what I'm suggesting is we put this on hold. I'm suggesting we come back next year in the next biennium and look and see what our financial situation is. If our finances are better and it's still a top priority, then let's look at it again and go after it. So this amendment, what it does, out of the $51 million, it takes $41 million out, and then it goes down on, if you're on this page, it goes down and takes the capital building restoration or the state facilities construction account that the $20 million was going to be put in and go up to this. It takes that out. So what this amendment does is leave $11,200,000 in the Science Initiative account. So we're leaving it there. We're looking at it to see if it's something that we can better do next year. And I'd encourage you considering this amendment, just putting it on hold, leaving some money, letting them put some money in, and see if that's still a priority next year when our financial situation we'll know a little better in 2017.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and for this amendment. As members, as you recall, last year during the supplemental budget, we had those three tranches. And in that third tranche, we had, I think it was $35 million or something to that effect, 30-some million, that was designated in that third tranche if we were to actually get those funds. And we didn't get those funds, so it went unfulfilled. And now in this, the bill that we have in front of us, it's been being proposed that we fund the entire $100 million over this next biennium, including this big portion here, this $51,200,000. A couple things to consider. This is a project. Do we need this project right now? Or can this project wait? We have a structural deficit in our general operations budget of, what was it, around $34, $35 million. This would reduce that structural deficit. As it stands, we're still going to be spending, what, I think it's $105 for cities and towns coming out of the LSRA. We're going to be spending $80 million for school CapCon coming out of the LSRA. And in addition, we're going to be spending whatever it is our structural deficit is in our general operations bill, pushing that to over $200 million coming out of the LSRA. And here's a chance to take this money and just hold on to it and wait and see. Now, I know sometimes that's not the most popular thing to do, to wait and see. But I would go back. We didn't have the money. It went unfulfilled this last year when we had our supplemental budget. We didn't meet our funding requirements there. And again, if you think about this, yeah, these are one-time funds going to build this project. And I would agree that using those one-time funds for a project like this would be a good idea. However, one of the things that comes with a project like this is overhead. You've got people that are going to need to staff this building. It's going to need to be clean. It's going to need to be taken care of for years and years and years and years. Make no mistake, this isn't just one-time funding we're talking about. We're talking about another building at the university that's going to take maintenance and operation for years and years to come. And again, we looked at the budget there for the university, and I guess a question to ask is, are you prepared to see those numbers rise? They'll rise anyway, just because of some of the things that, you know, we talked about, that creep that comes with some of these budgets. And you'll see that number rise, but do we want to continue to see it rise and rise and rise again? And the university coming back and asking us for more and more and more money. So again, I don't think this is a bad project by any means. I just question the timing of it. And do we really want to go ahead with our structural deficit and the money that we're taking out of the LSRA? And do we want to build a project, a building, right now, and can we wait? And I think this is a good amendment. Would ask you to vote aye.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask you to oppose this amendment, and if I could, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to go over a little bit of history here. The timeline for a legislative and executive support. In 2014 session, Section 317 of the budget bill directs the governor to appoint a task force to develop a plan to achieve top quartile science programs at the University of Wyoming. December 2014, task force issues its report. 2015 session, Section 345, appropriates $3 million for the Science Initiative Facility Planning. Section 346 previously appropriates $30 million for a construction reserve. Now in the 2016 session, Governor recommends the JAC's action to provide full funding of the $100 million project. Budget bill includes $51.2 million general fund available for a swap, $24.4 million from the 2017 SIPA, and $24.4 million from the 2018 SIPA. What is a science initiative? Most of you, I think, have had an opportunity to, as our good representative from the middle of the state mentioned, tour the facility. But anyway, in Section 317 of the 2014 budget bill directs a governor to appoint a task force to develop a plan to achieve a top quartile science programs with the overall goals of improving the prestige and quality of teaching and research in the sciences, enhancing employability of UW graduates in the sciences, fostering opportunities for the creation of sustainable jobs in Wyoming and further economic development. The Wyoming Governor's UW Top-Tier Science Programs and Facilities Task Force identified key elements necessary to achieving a top quartile science programs. Number one, active learning classrooms and program to fundamentally transform science education in Wyoming. Number two, modern state-of-the-art research centers to house new facilities for imaging, advanced biological and chemical in the art of research centers. Number three, programs to stimulate student training and transdisciplinary research in emerging areas of science relevant to the Wyoming's economy. And Mr. Chairman or Mr. Speaker, what is proposed in the Science Initiative facility? Active learning classrooms. Active learning is the heart of the Science Initiative and facilities features. Four active learning classrooms seating 150 and 200 students. Active learning emphasizes individual student engagement, learning, and a participatory sport. 70% of the UW students will take core science classes in AL rooms. Research both at UW and nationally demonstrates students learn and retain more through active learning. Active learning will be taught to the University of Community College K-12 educators. This will transform science education in Wyoming. And finally, Mr. Speaker, a center for advanced scientific imaging will co-locate UW's imaging scientists, their student teams, and unique instrumentation in a state-of-the-art staff laboratory. This will allow for unprecedented sensitives and efficiencies in probing the interactions among atoms, molecules, and cells and underlying all next-generation technologies. A Center for Integrative Biological Research will bring together UW's world-recognized biologists into a single collaborative space to foster initiative and convergent research activities addressing some of Wyoming's most pressing environmental and health-related challenges. And a modern plant growth facility on the top floor of the facility will dramatically improve already strong programs at UW. The facility plan includes to move the College of Agriculture's Molecular Biology Department to the vacated Molecular Biology Wing that can be remodeled to accommodate much-needed space for the Animal Science Department. Bottom line, Mr. Speaker, this is an initiative that we've made an investment in, and it's progressing as planned. And I would ask you to oppose this amendment.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, we just approved some money so they could buy a computer program so that they could get a handle on all of the money that we were shoveling at them. I think they need time to be able to implement that before we keep shoveling more money at them. They have another building over there that the roof caved in, side sucked in. They're still trying to figure out who's at fault for that besides the taxpayer. That hasn't gone anywhere as far as I know yet. I think that we need to take a step back and let them catch up with how they're spending the money, how they're being accountable for what we've given them. Every time I see us giving the school over the hill money with, I can't say necessarily say it, but I'm going to, it's incompetence on the part of those that's looking over it. I believe that it looks like, to me, the old type of train where being from coal country, you're taking a shovel full of coal and throw it in the furnace to give them more power, and it seems like that's what we're doing with the state's money. is shoveling it in, and they're burning it up, and they're really not getting the best bang for the buck. On and for the bill.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of the amendment, we got a little briefing a couple of days ago about the university's foundation account. Currently, the balance is $616 million. Now, I realize some of that is restricted temporarily or permanently, but there's a nice chunk in there that is not restricted. If this is a priority for one of our 2 4-year institutions in the state, then I would urge them to go in and look at their own funds and just see where this priority falls with them. I urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many of you have taken the tour of the science building over at UW, but it's a disgrace. We have junior colleges that have better, 10 times better, science classes and buildings than we have at the University of Wyoming. And so then the question is, well, you just put up another science building or you do something more. You take it to the whole next level. Take it up to a tier one, similar to what we did with engineering. And you know, at the end of the day, our science programs, our engineering programs are what's going to carry us 50 years and 100 years down the road from now as we start to winnow away at our natural resources. Our science-based folks are going to be more and more and more important than ever. And we also have to know that that's the one-time funding issue, but it's a real concept. The chances are 2 years from now that we're going to have available to us a cash outlay to move forward on the science initiative is zero. I mean, in essence, we have this one-time chance to do it, and it's a balancing of priorities. What this bill does, it doesn't balance our priorities or tell you what you want to do with it. And so there's no vision. There's no concept of where we want to be at 10 years from now and how we're going to deal with it. So with improving the science initiative, we're doing a lot of different things. We're saying to Wyoming and to our kids and to our college folks down in the future, we're going to support you. We're going to have the best campus and the best science program we can possibly have in the situation presented before us. We're going to use our one-time dollars in such a way that we're going to advance the sciences and our future development throughout the state of Wyoming. And we're going to take care of a long-neglected component of the UW, which is the science building over there. It's just one of those things. I mean, I almost had better science classes in high school 20 years ago than what they have right now. So something has to be done. And this is our unique opportunity and time to do it. And so I on and against the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker just wrapped up a couple of things that I was going to say, but I would just say this. Just think about your families, your younger people in your families, and where they're going with the new technologies, the new science. That's what we want to have our students go through. And this is one of those colleges where you learn how to interact on a lot of things that are very technical, and they become better candidates for good jobs and also helping our state and our nation. So I'd urge your no vote.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about here on this amendment is how much you value the future and the future of education at the university. It really is more than just a dollars and cents thing. It's really where you want the school to be 10 years from now, 50 years from now. If we don't start it now, we may never get it done. We may never be able to make up what we lose, excuse me, if we don't. One thing this initiative does, it provides a new way of teaching, and it's been compared to some of the top technical schools in the country, and this is the cutting edge. This gives our university one up on some of the name schools that we really aren't supposed to mention in this room. if you look back to what was done, say, 40 years ago, there was almost a moratorium on any new things at the university. And as a result, we started to fall behind. And in this day and age, you can't fall behind, because the minute you do, you probably will never catch up. And we need to catch up now. We have professors that have staked their careers on having the facilities they need to do the research that they really have planned to do. These professors are being recruited and given large offers of raises to go to other schools. They would rather stay here. And part that keeps them here is this plan to improve our science courses at UW. We've already budgeted and paid for some of this. We need to continue the process. And while it looks like, yeah, sure, we're going to put it off for a few years with this amendment, we may actually be putting it off forever. If we don't start now, when will we start? And we need to do this. In the past, we've given the university a small little amount of money in some grants. That money has paid off tremendously in that they have now been offered national research grants based on what we gave them in the past. And that money will come. They will be able to do the research. They'll be able to bring more money in. These are the people to keep these professors who are going to make these changes at school and educate our children and grandchildren. And that, we don't need to lose those. They will go away. They will follow where they can research best. And if it's not at our university, it'll be at another one. Excuse me. So I would urge you strongly to resist this amendment. We need to continue to fund these programs. These will be our future jobs, our future research, and what sets this state and our one state four-year school apart from the rest of the country. There was just a recent article I read over the weekend that we are considered one of the best bargains in education right now. We really want to be the best bargain. This will help us get there. This will provide us with the scientists who will do this research in the future and actually grow the university. Currently, the university gets a tremendous amount of money in national grants for this research. We need to continue that, and we need to accelerate it. This needs to be a center of excellence. We want to be a top-tier school, and we need to fund this and do it now. Merely pushing it out a few years will probably see to it that it doesn't happen, because we'll lose any number of professors and research grants because we can't handle them. So I'd urge you to plan for the future, put this money aside right now so that we can start this process. We've already started it. We've already funded a tremendous amount on the science initiative, and that we need to now continue and not stop midway and say, well, gee, we don't have the money, or we don't want to spend the money, which is more like it. So I would urge you strongly to resist this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Pinnell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm on and in favor of the amendment. You know, last year I was very much supportive of the science initiative and still am, because of the fact we're not, in this amendment, it's not being, the science initiative is not being taken away. It's just there's funds cut back. We're going through a time period now where we don't know how many funds we're going to have to accomplish this. And this is a $100 million project, more so as it goes down the road, I'm sure. But I look at the, you know, the projects that are already ongoing over there at the place over the hill to the west of us that hasn't been completed. So we're not eliminating construction projects over there. We've got last year there was the $20 million to the high-altitude training facility. You know, there was many other things that we sent money over to them. And granted, there were some matching funds involved in that. But this one, this one here just kind of sets it back and lets it, you know, let's make sure we have the funds available. There's other projects throughout the state that I feel are more appropriate to fund. And as it was pointed out on one of the sheets that was sent out earlier, on the priority, the science initiative is down on the list. It's not the number one priority. So I would recommend and urge your vote in favor of this amendment, and thank you.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members, you know, I had questions in my own mind, and a week ago I took a bus ride and I went over the hill and took a look at the projects involved, and that really made a difference for me. And seeing what the potential would be for future students, seeing what the potential would be for departments to move around. By construction of this space, several departments are going to move around, and I believe one of the departments I was interested in was veterinary science, and I believe perhaps animal science as well. The expansion of those programs is what we're also talking about now. So by creating this space, we create additional space for other programs to expand, opportunities for students, opportunities for our state to do some research, and I really like the sounds of that. So what I was thinking was, if we're not taking these steps forward, are we actually taking a couple of steps backwards? And so I would ask for your serious consideration and on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one reminder to the body, in that we all want to attract new businesses to the state, and we want a lot of high-tech industry, and we would love to have it here. The one thing that attracts those people are not tax cuts, not money, not outdoors, none of that. It's education, because the people that work in those industries go to school all their life. They don't get a degree and sit around and say, I'm done. Even those who have multiple advanced degrees continue to go to school. We have 1 4-year school to attract them. And that's what attracts them, is quality education for the rest of their lives. We want to attract these industries. We need to be able to provide that. This starts the process for the future. Thank you. On and against the amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do want to push back just a little bit. You know, we give our kids here, as far as in-state tuition, they get a heck of a deal. Our in-state tuition is phenomenal. And then you couple that with the Hathaway Scholarship, which the state provides, and any other scholarships that they can get because of whether it's athletic ability or academic ability. And my point is simply, kids are not going to stop coming to the university simply because we don't build the science initiative. That's far-fetched. There are several new buildings there at that facility, and we can name them one by one. Some of them were mentioned just previously a little bit ago. And all we're saying with this is, listen, let's wait. We're not putting a kibosh to the whole project. I think there's value in this. You know, a couple of different speakers mentioned, you know, in 2 years we may not be able to fund this. Well, if we may not be able to fund this in 2 years, why are we going ahead with it now? If there's concern in the future that our revenues are going to be declining, why in the world would we go ahead and expend these funds now and say, okay, well, let's do it now while we got the money? We're not sure about tomorrow. We're not sure about 2 years from now. The ongoing operations and expenses, boy, we really might have to tighten our belt. That just kind of boggles me a little bit. And so I think, again, we need to wait. We need to adopt this amendment. This is a good amendment. So I'll be quiet on for the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Yegi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and a great bunch of thoughts have been given us. I would call your attention to this sheet again, and the idea that was given, one of the script that was read about a top-tier science initiative building. I would suggest that if you look on each one of these from 05, 06, we've given a top-tier initiative whether it be in the anthropology, archaeology, library learning, information technology building. We've had some academic facilities. We've got the College of Business. I'd suggest every year we've made this university a better university, and we'll keep doing it. You just look at the great things we've done year by year by year. And right now we're in the middle of the engineering building with pushing 100, you know, trying to get the $110 million that they're getting. We have a great university. And we're taking care of it to the tune of, well, you look at this, pushing $1 billion we put in there in 10 years to make top-tier programs on every one of these. And we're not saying that if we don't fund this right now, we're not going to fund it. I'm suggesting we have a new university president that when we heard her last Saturday talk about new strategies, talking about priorities, talking about getting a list from the highest to the lowest and seeing where everything fits. And I would suggest we're just going to continue to fund over there at a rate that we can. I'm just saying right now isn't the time to do this. If you look in House Bill 1, we gave a bunch of money there. The $8 million that has been way discussed in pro and con emails that we've had, we passed it. The $8 million for the engineering, we passed it in there. So I think we have done a lot to produce top-tier programs at our university. And the idea that if we don't do it right now, we're going to miss out. I can't quite buy that. Professors are going to leave by the droves. I can't quite buy that either. I think there's a chance that we could get some more AML funds, and we could just pick right up on that. We're using AML funds because we're out of our funds, and that's what the discussion's all about in Senate File 41. So I'm saying, we have a great university. We need to take care of it. But I'm saying we've done that year after year after year. Let's slow down on this one with our economic downturn. We're talking about not being able to fund the things that we have without taking out of our permanent mineral trust fund. We're talking our education funds, our prison funds, our reclamation funds. We've got some big things ahead of us, and this $100 million isn't the right time to do it. So I appreciate you discussing this. I've heard all the folks that just really love our university sticking up for it, and I appreciate that. I hope we can all support the university, but I don't think right now is the time to be putting another $100 million in. So I'd appreciate you considering that and voting aye on the amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 6 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 17. Second reading amendment number 6 has failed. We're on second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 41. Representative Larson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 41. On this amendment, we'll go to the bill on page 6, line 10. We will decrease $6.8 million from the general fund and hold off on building new buildings for the forestry department. On page 29, after line 18, we'll insert appropriation of funds to the legislative stabilization reserve account Funds will be moved from the general fund to the LSRA, where this body can decide what to do with this money in the future. I do see from the department report the maintenance building and garage were scored in poor condition, but could this replacement not wait until next year or the year after? In the report, I do not see safety and life concerns. It is number four on the priority list. The buildings are 1930 era. They have been making do for many years. A couple more years would not hurt, especially with declining state revenue. Is this where AML money should be spent? We cut many programs important for young and old. This is a small amount in the total budget, but it all adds up. I encourage your aye vote.
Chairman Swanser, Dan, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would strongly encourage a no vote to this amendment. There have been a lot of good amendments today, but I would submit this is not one. As the former speaker said, this is an almost 90-year-old building, and if you want to see life and safety hazards, I would encourage you while you're visiting the Capitol to go about five blocks down the street to the current facility. If you've been in there, it needed it 20 years ago, and they've been kind of lax on this request for a long time. And I know it is only fourth in the priority this year, but at least in State Building Commission in October when we talked about all the projects, I think this is one that had broad consent and support, at least from the other branch of government, including as one of the ex officio members of myself. And this, I would submit to you, is one of the more important projects of facilities in the state of Wyoming, and I would ask you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been down to this forestry building, and it indeed is pretty run down, but this isn't where our forestry department is currently doing business. There's relatively nobody down there. So if we're going to be taking this building and we're going to be doing something with it, then perhaps maybe sell it or something along those lines. But to say it's being used is not true.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just kind of want to back up a little bit. We talked about having one-time funds that came in, and we've taken those dollars and put them to the Department of Transportation to free up general fund dollars for these projects. So we look at those as one-time dollars. And so what this bill is doing is taking those one-time dollars and addressing needs within the state and capital construction. And, I don't want to use those one-time dollars for the ongoing costs of government. I don't want to grow our ongoing obligations with those dollars. What I want to do is put them somewhere to invest, just like we would. And so regardless of, your feelings on the prior amendment, this is one of those projects that's been identified as a building for the state of Wyoming. And the good bringer of this amendment, him and I went through the condition statement in the budget with this, and as he properly disclosed, this was a building built in the 1930s. It's one of the lowest condition buildings we have in the state. And by spending these dollars now, what we do is they're going to use a smaller footprint, a smaller building that's going to be much more efficient for the state. This is an investment and an asset the state needs to do its business. I looked at this probably up there with the hospital down in the southwest corner of the state that's in our Constitution. I looked at this as the next most important project that we should be doing. So I'd encourage your no vote on this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Madam Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure what to do on this amendment, but I think it's okay to hit the pause button and save some money. The state of Wyoming is not always the best neighbor to the city of Cheyenne, and so I'm not sure if what we're doing with this building is the right thing or the wrong thing from a community level. And until I have those questions answered, and maybe my good Senate district mate has the answers for me, but I think it's okay to hit the pause button. So I would urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Like our Joint Appropriation Committee member states, we already spent the AML funds through YDOT. We do not have to spend right now. Maybe more important projects will come up next year. I encourage an aye vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 7 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 8 to Senate File 41. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't propose to delete any funds here, just move something around, and I move the second reading amendment to House Senate File 41, number 8, and ask for your favorable consideration. So what I would like to do, having just affirmed that the hospital in our Constitution in the southwest corner of the state is one of our highest priorities, I would like to take $15 million from that institution in the center of the state, leaving them with $10 million for some much-needed repairs, but take that money and give it to our hospital in the southwest corner, adding, bringing that money up to $60 million, added to the $35 million that's already in that account, this would make them whole. This would give them repair money, expansion money, and everything we need that constitutionally mandated institution to be for us. So I would urge your aye vote on this. The institution in the center of the state will still have $10 million for repairs. Their expansion can perhaps be moved into subsequent years, but please vote to make our state hospital whole. This is crucial, especially as we're considering Title 25. But let's do right by our hospital and put the institution in the center of the state out a couple more years. I urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Thank you.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I'd encourage you to resist this amendment. As we've discussed over the last week, as we've looked at statute changes and funding changes, this is part of a puzzle. And as we look at the populations being served by our state hospital, in order to make accommodations for the Title 25 people, which in return will save us money because of the cost overruns, because we don't have room in that facility to take them, we need to be able to move some of that population from that facility to what we've determined will be at the Life Resource Center. We can't do that if we don't have the space there to put them in and to build that. So I'd encourage you to be against this amendment.
Representative Winters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this particular amendment, this is a great amendment because it recognizes the need for placement in the state hospital. And those of you who have listened to the Title 25 discussions have heard a lot of discussion of this facility in the southwest corner. It also allows us to pursue some basic remodel of the current facility there in the center of the state. It just demonstrates the priority of the southwestern facility and allows for that development to occur as quickly as possible. And I like this because it does leave that $10 million in there for continued renovation there in the center of the state. And for that reason, it doesn't bring anything to a halt. It also allows us to utilize current state facilities that are already in place in other portions of the state. And so... all it's doing, as has been said before, is hold that timeline out just a little bit further and allows us to prioritize these funds toward that southwestern facility. And so I think that this is a very wise amendment, and I appreciate the bringer bringing it. And so on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I just want folks to be clear. I think the good representative from the middle of the state with a big county with eight school districts, he's the one who is in the center of the state on this issue. And so this doesn't refer to the office building. Just so if somebody's out there thinking, well, we're taking this from the office building and giving it to the state hospital, it's not what this does. What it does is monkey around with the priority that we have and the timing of these two facilities that the missions are going to be redefined and changed to better utilize our state dollars and to serve our people in these really vulnerable situations, and from Title 25 all the way to long-term care. And so, again, if you've ever visited these facilities, particularly the ones in the center of the state, in the county with eight school districts, there's some old facilities, and that all needs to be brought together. And so I think this is this one time in state's history when we can really do some real good with these one-time dollars. So the timing, I think, is set up just right in this bill. And what this would do is just throw a wrench in that, and there's no need to. I'd submit to you there's no need to do it. And we're going to do both of these, and we're going to move them forward. And it's all about providing the best services for the people of our state. So on and against.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Winters. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that there's been some discussion there about priorities, and I think that the priorities really have been established in moving forward with the facility in the southeast quarter of the state hospital. We know that we have to address that first, but you can't be piddling around. And the synchronizing of those two options have been looked at, and we need to move somewhat simultaneously together. And so I would just, again, encourage you to vote against this amendment and let us carry on as we've really worked we've worked through this process and have not taken lightly the responsibility we have there and feel that this is an economically feasible way to administer these funds and hope that you'll support that. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do want to point out that $10 million is quite a large sum of money. And the reason why I think that is sufficient, at least for the immediate problems that we're facing, is because when you look at the Facilities Commission, the plan that was outlined for that Facilities Commission, it is sufficient to take care of the remodeling options there at the WLRC. And the good chairman did outline the fact that there are some old facilities, and I do recognize that we desperately need to take care of those facilities. And I do believe that this is sufficient to not only start that process, but to take it a long ways down the road. But also when you start to prioritize the facilities down there in Evanston and all of the discussions many of you have probably had with your different sheriffs, chiefs of police, individuals that are required to take care of the 72-hour holds that occur across the state, that particular facility there in the southwest corner of the state is often at the center of the discussion. And so if we could move forward rapidly, as quickly as possible, on that facility, I think that it would be really good for us and still leave enough to take care of that facility. As I said before, in the center of the state, I'm talking about closer to the geographical center of the state. But I think that this would be a really good bill or amendment to set those priorities right. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge your aye vote. We have a crisis, and this amendment will solve that crisis. The institution in the center of the state will be made whole eventually as the mission changes, but we can proceed much more slowly on that, and I really urge that we divert some money from that institution to our constitutionally mandated institution and help mitigate the crisis that so many of our counties are facing. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 8 to Senate File 41. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 8 has failed. Senate File 41, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I move for recess, I just wanted to review with all of you ladies and gentlemen that we will break for an hour. We will come back and finish second reading. Then we'll have the budget conference discussion so that we can get that over to the other side of the body. Then we'll have third reading. Then we'll have joint conference committee reports. And then we'll begin general file. And if you note, you have a revised green copy on your desk, which has 32 bills on there. And right now, the intent of the speaker and I is to adjourn at 6 o'clock today. So that's sort of the timeline we have for this afternoon. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 1:30.
Are there any committee reports, committee announcements? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1 will meet now, actually 30 minutes ago, to discuss interim topics. So room H38, I believe.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Your committee 7, corporations, planned better. We're only 5 minutes behind, but we're going to meet with our like committee in Senate 17 as soon as we can all get there for corp.
Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, education, will meet right now to prioritize the joint education interim committee subjects.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9 will meet 45 minutes late in room H37 to consider interim topics.
Representative Kasperi. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, labor, will meet upon adjournment in room H37 to discuss interim topics.
Vice Chairman Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Transportation will meet upon adjournment for joint interim topics in L51. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
I think I was dreaming that we were adjourning. We will recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion to recess until 1:30. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We're recessed.